Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Company alive for the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Well, if you want to buy the Panthers, better start cashing in any funds that grandma may have left you and then go back a few generations and hope that they matured at a pretty good rate.
Yeah.
They are this is unbelievable. Santa just told us this during the break. I didn't even see this until 2 minutes ago. The Panthers are up to, which means it's still moving, $2.5 billion as they get ready to sell, which is double what the Bills were sold for, which is for Steph Curry and P. Diddy to make a little U-turn and bounce.
Yeah, you're right. That was with Michael Rubin, right? Michael Rubin was with P. Diddy and Steph Curry. He's the owner of Fanatics. There's a Charlotte businessman, Ben Navarro, and a hedge fund manager, David Tepper, who are also involved. I think there's a new bidder, actually, a Canadian, or I think it was Canadian or something, CEO of some major company, also has thrown his hat into the ring as a bidder here. So, yeah, it's skyrocketing.
$2.5 billion.
Now, all of this will have to be approved by the NFL and the requisite ownership percentage. I think it's 24 of the 32 need to approve, but we'll see. Once it ultimately gets done. But they're saying it could be done by March, by the end of March. So
Does it get up to $3 billion?
The other owners would love that.
Yeah.
Because that just raises the valuations of their businesses as well.
Oh,
so
God.
Maybe.
And the crazy thing is, the market, Charlotte certainly is on the come. Mm-hmm. Banking, very strong. A lot of colleges out there. I like Charlotte. Charlotte's a good spot. Carolina's a great state. Charlotte's a great city. But, it's not what you would expect in terms of like commanding that. And I'm also not a financier. This is not what I do for a living in terms of evaluating pro franchises, their worth. But $2.5 billion, double the Bills? I don't know how that makes sense. Double the Bills? Maybe a couple of hundred million more than the Bills. Double the Bills?
It just feels like it's big. But Charlotte has actually become a city we talked about this last time.
I love
Charlotte. How business is growing there, research facilities. Obviously, the schools are there. The NASCAR Hall of Fame is in Charlotte, obviously, because it's in the South. But there's a lot more there than it feels like it's there. It feels like it's the South, but it's more cosmopolitan than what you would think. You know what I mean? So there's money there is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. And there's opportunity there as well.
Just not for Steph and Diddy.
Not at $2.5 billion, which is... Would you say, Sam, that this is the most of any American sports franchise?
It would. If this sold for $2.5, it would be the most of any professional American sports
sale.
Franchise.
Sale. Yes. But not value. I mean, it's different because
I think the Clippers went for more than the Bills. I feel like 1.2 was.
He made out like a bandit.
Yeah.
What does they say? What's the Dodgers? What's the Dodgers, the Yankees?
And the Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Are the richest one.
Dodgers, Yankees, Cowboys. I'd love to see what they're rated at right now. Dodgers, Michael checked it out. Dodgers, Yankees, Cowboys. Yeah, Cowboys are just ridiculous.
Yeah. No, I'm looking at the demographics here of Charlotte. 730,000 residents.
All right, that's grown significantly.
Yeah.
Okay. What market size is it now? About 20s, low 20s?
Probably 20. It doesn't have it here.
I'm going to say
But the population has grown. You're right.
Maybe inside of 20, actually.
It's probably more than 730,000 because that was 2010. But to your point, in 2000, it was 540,000.
That's good growth right there.
So you're right. So it may be closer to 800,000, maybe even more than 800,000 right now.
That feels similar to Vegas when I was there in the early 2000s to where it is now. I remember when I moved there, it was below a million for sure. Mm. This is 17, 18 years ago, and it's over a million now. But that seems like a real high percentage surge for a short amount of time.
Yeah,
Charlotte,
right.
I like Charlotte.
In a decade.
I really do.
Median
I was
income,
there a couple years ago.
Median family income, 60,000.
Yeah.
Just for comparison's sake, the Cowboys are valued. Now, they haven't been sold, but they're valued at about $5 billion.
Wow.
So, but Cowboys have so much ancillary revenue streams, advertising, the stadium, everything. So.
Pats are second, by the way. At what, Mike? 3 point what? Three
Seven.
Change?
3.7. Then the Giants at 3.3. Redskins at 3.1. And the 49ers at 3.05.
49ers, huh?
The Rams are sixth. I guess the L.A. move kind of helped out.
And the new stadium's
coming.
Yeah,
the new stadium. Yeah, you're
right. That place is going to be.
Yeah.
That place is going to be pretty sweet. All right, T. So we got Chipper Jones coming up, by the way, next segment. Braves Hall of Famer, awesome player, great hitter, switch hitter. So we'll get with him, see what he thinks about some early trends for the start of the baseball season. Only 8 days away now. But how about this? The NFL's tweaking the catch rule. They're not going to add the target rule, which was up there for discussion. I'm kind of thankful for that.
Yeah,
are
the
you?
Yeah.
Okay.
The target rule, meaning if you headhunt and you get a personal foul, then you get ejected, just like in college. They go review it, you get ejected, you're done for the game. And if it's after halftime, you're done for the first half of the second
carries
game.
Over.
So,
all right, so we're on the same page with that. I think this is going to clear up a lot. You know, I clear up a lot of discontent. I just know how I watch football Sundays. I get back from Tops, I get on the couch, I start the Jets game, I get to the red zone, I watch all day, I bounce around, and I'm there with my laptop. And, Teak, I would say, God, I feel like, now this is also because people like to skew negatively and complain. It is what it is. That's kind of part of society now. But I feel like well over 50% of the conversations on social media about the NFL, maybe more, are about a bad call. Yeah. And a lot of the bad calls are about what's a catch and what's not.
Yeah, because it's so ambiguous. You don't know. And it's open for, it's so subjective and not objective. And so they're trying to figure out how to make this objective, so it's foolproof, so that every referee can get it correctly. And it seems like they're simplifying it to the point to make it common sense. Now, it's obviously the caveats are a catch, easy, 2 feet down, easy, and then a move that or the ability to make a move, which that kind of don't understand that, but the move or the ability to make a move that's football related. So that could be the third step, that could be the dive for the end zone, like Jesse James did last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mm-hmm. He caught the ball, had 2 feet, and a knee down.
That changed the whole football season, by the way.
No doubt about it.
The whole football season.
No doubt about it. Because
Steelers would have beaten them in the AFC Championship game at Heinz Field.
You're right. And then he dove for the end zone.
Yep.
When he dove for the end zone, his hands hit the ground, and the ball moved.
That was a touchdown.
Of course it was a touchdown.
Touchdown.
He consciously made them put the ball out in his hands and dove for the end zone and got just to get it across the goal line. Now, here's the thing. He could have just fell down and rolled because he wasn't touched. You know what I mean? Jesse James caught that pass. He wasn't touched yet, and all he could have done was just caught it, stuck the ball out, and it would have been a touchdown because he hadn't been touched down now. So now they've simplified this rule. I think it's the best thing that they've ever done. So now we're not going to be going to replays and looking at, did the ball move microscopically?
Yep.
You know, because instant replay showed this little tiny, you know, gyration that you can't see with the naked eye. That's what killed me, watching instant replay of a ball slightly moving when a guy hit the ground.
I think a byproduct of this, favorable for us, any football fan, is that because these rules will be more clearly defined, and as Tiki laid out, the things the refs will have to look for, I believe that referees will be empowered to make a call with more in a more definitive manner and not worry about the negative backlash. Listen, they can say whatever they want.
They end up thinking about it.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want. They know that if they have a real gaffe, they're getting roasted on. So I almost think to the point where they're almost more concerned with getting roasted on social media and being made a clown than they are any sort of repercussions from the league
from
office.
The league. Yeah, like the Corey Kmet catch in the Super Bowl, right? He catches in the back of the end zone, and the ball is clear. It's moving, but to me, that was a catch. He had it when he switched arms and he hit the ground. It moved, but it was still a catch to me. But there was so much uproar, and I think it was funny because at the time, I remember thinking, and I think I actually even said this on the show that the next week after the Super Bowl, this is what the catch rule is going to look like now. Those rules, which were questionable, And even the tight end had one where he reached out and the ball hit the ground and popped up and he re-caught it.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have been incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were thinking about changing the rule, they left both of those catches as touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw something quirky at you. We'll break a little bit early so we get a full long segment with Chipper Jones coming up next year on Tiki and Tierney. But obviously, catch the football, mm-hmm. both feet in bounds, first two criteria. Yep. The third one, make a football move
or have the
room to make a football move.
Or have the ability to make a football room. So it encompasses catching a ball at the sideline, right? So if you're catching a ball, you're tiptoeing.
Yep.
You can't make a football move, but you have the ability to make a football move.
Okay.
And you don't have to possess the ball through the ground. You don't have to survive the ground, as they used to say.
Which I like. I like that's going to change a lot. But
agreed.
So say if I catch a ball over the middle of the field, it doesn't, you know, little mm-hmm. bubble,
dig
slip
right,
screen, whatever, a little shallow crossing right, whatever it is. Catch the ball. And I'm about to get laid out by a linebacker. Obviously, 2 feet clearly on the ground, mm-hmm. ball possession. I don't take a step forward because I can't, but I go to juke.
That's a football move.
But I don't make a step forward.
Doesn't matter.
That's still easily defined.
Absolutely.
Okay, as long as we're clear.
Yep.
This should be good, football fans. I think we're going to really enjoy this.
Right. Here's the thing that we have to be very mindful of, though.
What's that?
Fumbles now. You make a move like that. Did you make a football move? You caught the ball. You get popped, the ball comes out,
mm-hmm.
it's a fumble. Just saying.
Never worry about that next year.
I'm just saying.
Every year we'll delete one thing that we all can't agree on. And in 30 years, we'll actually have a universal rule
yeah,
book.
Yeah, right.
All right, T, coming up next, we got Chipper Jones, Hall of Famer, switch hitter. Not just about the Braves, but obviously big picture, National League and Hall of Fame, and probably throw a Bonds question as well. I read something the other day where he spoke about Bonds, where he commented on Bonds and Clemens as well. So the great Chipper Jones joins us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from, let's go with, this one's pretty good. It's actually really important. Adam Farnell, at Adam Farnell, Farnell. Queries about the Celtics. Should the Celts be worried about Kyrie and if he's going to be able to perform in the postseason with his knee injury? Hashtag ask the pros.
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
Yes.
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 He's going to get a second opinion. We all know the issue. He broke his kneecap. He had screws put into that kneecap. Those screws are irritating his surrounding tissues. So, yes, absolutely. Be worried about Kyrie Irving if you're the Boston Celtics or a Boston Celtics fan, because without Kyrie Irving, they're not doing much in the postseason.
No, and Jalen Brown's hurt as well.
Yes, as is Marcus Smart.
You need him.
Yes.
You need him. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day here on a busy Wednesday, CBS Sports Radio. So we got 4 games tomorrow. We got 4 games on Friday. We get into that. Before you know, it's the Elite Eight. The Elite Eight is shaved down to the mm-hmm. Final Four. You and I will be out there in San Antonio. Certainly looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, that's one of the few major American cities I have not been to.
Yeah, me too.
Not
me
been to
either.
San Antonio.
Me either. Looking been to Austin. But never been to San Antonio.
Oh, speaking of Austin, how about that?
Oh, I know.
With the
Bomber.
The Bomber.
24-year-old young man.
Yeah, 24 years old. And then he detonated the bomb in his own car. And, of course, you know, he's no longer with us, thankfully. But it's just you watch the news every night. It's scary stuff.
No,
it's,
you're right.
You know what I mean?
What makes people go that far off the deep end?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What triggers it? Who knows?
Yeah.
But that was a scary situation. That's been going on for a while out there in Austin.
Tiki
and Tierney, as we said, Chipper Jones was muddy. He's just, that's just an, see, I love the old school athlete.
Yeah.
There's no, like, the guard's not up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I get it. If I was a young athlete today, I mean, hell, I'm all over social media now, and I'm in my 40s.
Right.
I mean, I'd be out there brand development. I'd want to look, I'd probably wear skinny jeans. I'd probably wear things that I wouldn't wear now. You know what I mean? Like, I'd probably do things that I kind of laugh to myself at when I see the young kids doing it. I understand that. But there's something charming about an athlete who's just, you know, he's serious. If we meet Chipper Jones in Atlanta, we'll polish off 6-7 beers, have a great night, we'll hang out all night.
I agree.
Well, if we hang out all night, we'll have more than six beers.
Yeah, it's all good.
You know.
But I won't mind it.
No.
And it'll be great stories.
And he'll be honest.
That'll happen.
And it's a better interview. He's Chipper's not guarded.
No, he's not.
He's not guarded.
Agreed.
And you know?
And that's awesome. He's having another baby.
That's incredible.
I had a lot of kids. He's got 6 boys.
Now, he said that
And he's got, this will be seven boy?
It's definitely a boy. Or did he say, if it's a boy, his name's going to be Cooper? It's, or he's they already know it's a
Cooper.
Boy.
Naming him Cooper. So I'm assuming it's a boy. Seven boys.
How do you have seven kids and seven
Well, I have six kids.
Boys.
But I have four girls.
Well, then there you go. Seven boys.
The law of averages, you're going to at least get one.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah, as long as you have the money to do it, then he's in good shape with that department. Hey, March Madness is here. Tune in all week to TBS and CBS, and we'll do heavy March tomorrow, obviously. And go on the go with March Madness Live. We're listening on Westwood One. Let's go. Blast, hit it. All righty, here we go. A little strange Twitter exchange here. Yeah. Deion Sanders doesn't know who Kevin Byard is. Well,
we talked about this
Kevin?
Already.
He's one of the best safeties in the NFL, right. Something Deion should probably know.
He should, and the question then becomes, who's the best safety in the NFL? Is it him? Maybe, because of his production, but he'd have to replicate it year over year.
It's my boy, Jamal Adams, Jets.
Jamal Adams
Not
could
yet.
Be. He's
got
to learn
be.
How to hit smartly, and more important, because he talked about, I don't mind getting concussions.
Yeah.
Pump your brakes, kid.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah. You'll grow into a different
mindset. I think Harrison Smith is for the Minnesota Vikings. He's all over the place.
But he had concussion. Remember, he missed time last year. He had some concussion issues.
I know, but he's such a game changer.
He is, but he's right.
Yeah.
I'd probably co-sign that. I'm a little worried about his health, though.
Dude, any big-time hitting safety that's had a couple concussions over the last couple of years, I'm worried about.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of my Jets here, the Jets reportedly wouldn't give up a future first rounder for the Browns number one.
Mm.
So the question is, would we? Now the story goes, Jets reached out. It was a quick conversation. Browns rebuffed them fast. I'm of the mindset.
They didn't try hard enough.
Yeah, and maybe they circle back, whatever. Maybe just plant the seed. Whatever you do, what's the word of the day? Conviction. Just do it with conviction. If you believe quarterback X will alter your franchise for 15 years, give up what you got to give up to get him.
Yeah, and I think probably the Jets feel safe with two. There's probably two guys that they feel like they can work with, and that's why. Because if you want one guy and one guy only, you're giving up a future first round pick for that guy. But I think they're likely okay with a couple of the guys that are coming out in the quarterback class of 2018.
A lot of options. How about this? Some options for the Knicks as well. What do you know? They'll be looking for a new coach soon. Every year this happens. Knicks reportedly moving on from Jeff Hornacek. Stunning. Who should or who will be the next head coach? Knicks.
I think Mark Jackson, we've shown that name a couple times around. Now, he's got a lot to prove, but I don't know how he does it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's because we knew what it was like out in Golden State. Great motivator.
Mm-hmm.
Got that team pointed in the right direction, but
no
couldn't
doubt.
Get him over the bump.
Yep.
How do you, by not coaching, practice helping yourself coach over the bump?
How's John Gruden doing it? He was, watching football
for
10 years.
We haven't seen John Gruden
do
it yet.
That's true. That is fair.
I have those same questions for John Gruden.
Here's why I think he's going to probably wind up being the Knicks head coach. And Mark was one of my favorite players as a kid growing up. So part of me would love this, but part of me would question this as well with all due respect.
Yeah.
He's got the inner dynamics of the Knicks. He's tight with a few of the Steve Mills, who's now with Perry, but he's got a lot of juice, a lot of leverage. I'll tell you what, it wouldn't surprise me. I would give Tony Bennett a call, though, and I would kick the tires, and I would see if Tiki's Virginia coach is interested.
I would hate it, but I could understand it. Seriously.
I'd call them. All right, how about this? NBA scouts compare Trae Young, you ready, to Jimmer Fredette. Will Young be better?
Jimmer Fredette was a beast in China. 38 points he averaged. And enough NBA? Six.
Uh-huh.
Is he better than Jimmer Fredette? I'm going to say, yeah. I think he is. And he's young. It might take him a couple years, but I think he will be better
than
Jimmer
Fredette. I'm sorry, he's not as efficient as Jimmer. All right, Jimmer could shoot it. He never got in the right system.
Mm-hmm. But Jimmer wasn't a facilitator like
no,
Trae
no
was.
Doubt. That's where I was going. Trae Young seems to have elite vision left and right, sees the court well, never going to be a plus defender, 6'1", not going to get taller, might get a little stronger, but not significantly. I'll put it this way. If I got a top 10 pick and I really need to alter my franchise's course, Trae Young's not my guy.
Mm.
He's not my guy.
Yeah.
Not my guy. Could still be better than Jimmer. I think he will.
That's the question.
I'm lukewarm on Trae Young at this point.
It's hard not to be BT. He's 19. He's little.
That's true. Mayweather says he's getting a license. This should be a death sentence to fight in the MMA wants to fight in about a year or so. Can he win?
Who cares? He's going to get destroyed if he goes out there and plays and fights in MMA. He's 41 years old or 42 years old when he does that.
Yeah.
He has no chance. I'm more interested in Triple G Alvarez. Triple G's throwing shade at Alvarez for his failed drug test.
I saw that.
And Oscar De La Hoya calling them cheaters.
Yeah,
I'd rather see that. I don't care about Mayweather.
I really don't, because I don't want to see him get permanently hurt. I'd love to see Mayweather get knocked around and bloodied and beaten up and showing what it's really like in the octagon. Just get laid out.
I just think it'll be a farce. I think Conor McGregor coming to boxing, we thought was going to be a farce.
Well, he had a little boxing history at least, obviously.
Exactly.
To at least hang. He only fought once,
but he did train to be a boxer.
If this is on the legit and they don't throw him ham and eggers to get some pseudo excitement, if he fights real MMA, he will get destroyed. He's got zero chance to win.
He can't run.
He's got zero chance to survive if, like, the MMA fighter really wanted to maim him.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Agreed.
Oh, you know what? Santa was just saying, how about our guy, Platinum Mike Perry?
Platinum.
Oh, he's pissed off these days.
Yeah,
That's not a guy you'd want to see.
CM Punk's trying to get back into the ring as well.
CM Punk. We haven't heard from him in a while.
In June.
Is that true? When was the last time he fought? 2 years ago?
It had to be 2 years ago. First one, he got choked out, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But I did my Netflix show with him.
Well, I didn't know he was
Beastmaster. So the season 3 of Ultimate Beastmaster, my co-host is CM Punk. Cool dude.
Yeah.
Really cool dude.
Yeah.
He's jacked. He works out hard. But he failed in his first MMA fight. His first UFC fight.
Yeah.
They're giving him another chance. It took him a couple of years, so we'll see.
September 2016 was his one and only fight. Thank you, Mike.
And June 9th is his next one. Does he have an opponent? Do we know it at all?
CM Punk.
Don't know it?
Yeah, he's going to fight The Rock. I mean, come on. So stupid. I remember we had him in studio when he first made the transitions going back at least 3 years, three and a half.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of buzz, and it has just not materialized. He's, you know, I mean, he's doing Beastmaster, which is good, but in terms of going and, you know, taking over the octagon.
Different game, man.
They're all nuts. I don't know how they do it. They're all superhuman.
Brock Lesnar can make the transition. Not everybody can.
No, no. All right, take a good show. Drive safely, brother. See you tomorrow. All right, everybody, stay dry, stay warm, and we will catch you tomorrow. A lot of college hoops. Peace. Got to go. Okay, Teak, always a pleasure when we get a chance to talk with royalty from any sport, and right now is no different. We haven't had him on since he was voted into the Hall of Fame. It was no surprise. It was just a matter of what percentage, which, by the way, equated to the 11th best ever, 97.2. Obviously, just a star. I mean, he had a switch hitter. I could pick it. Good wheels when he was young. I'll tell you this. For my money, along with Ken Griffey Jr., the purest, most natural baseball player that I've ever seen, and that is the great Chipper Jones. Chip, Tiki and Tierney, haven't had you on since you got voted in. Congrats and welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you today?
Man, I'm going to have to take y'all out to dinner for that kind of
thing. Hey, come on up.
That was off the charts.
Hey, come on, man. You look the baseball part, too. I mean, when I met Chipper when we did our Enthusio event about a year ago, it's like, man, this just screams baseball player.
It's true.
Yeah.
It is, you know, and so when you get let's at least go through the process.
Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry for the idiots that felt like you couldn't get in. The 2.8% that didn't vote for you.
Yeah, right?
What the hell is wrong with them?
Who was it, by the way?
Do you find out?
Hey, we'll let them slide. You know, everybody's got their. Yeah, I'm not. Beggars can't be choosers.
I'll
take 97.
Yeah. If you're in Tim Raines' territory, then you need every vote. You got to go hunt people down if you don't get them. But when you're at 97.2, you're good to go. So Chipper also, by the way, a special assistant to baseball ops with the Braves. And the night that the votes came in, I was driving home. You know, our studio's down here in Manhattan. Teague and I both live in Jersey, and I'm going through the Lincoln Tunnel, and I heard you on the MLB Network, where you called in, everybody called in that got voted in, and you talked about when you got the call, you know, what it was like, given the relationship with your dad. Can you just kind of trace that over for our audience and take us through when you first got the call and just what it meant for you, knowing how much you love the game and really how much it meant for you and your dad when you shared that moment?
Yeah, something that you really can't explain unless you were there, you know, 38, 39, 40 years ago, you know, there in the backyard. I mean, I'm standing there with a PVC pipe in front of my, you know, garage, and my dad's standing, you know, 45 feet away from me, flogging tennis balls at me as hard as he can, you know, and, And that's kind of all where it started. And you'd be surprised, you would think, you know, when you get that call and you talk to the people from the Hall of Fame and they let you know that you know, are a part of the quartet that's going in. Well, it's actually six people, but, yep. You know, a part of the quartet that was voted in this year. The first, you would think, you know, the homers and the game-winning hits and the series and whatnot would be the first thing that to come to mind, but it wasn't. It was all those days, you know, in the backyard with pots or, you know, up at the high school field just taking swing after swing and ground ball after ground ball. Those are the things that came to mind first. And obviously when I got off the phone, you know, you give the wife a hug and a kiss and tell you know, each other that you love her and thanks for the support. But then it immediately turns to Pops, and I locked eyes with him from across the room, and, you know, I could tell he was welling up, and, you know, I had to give the man a big old hug, and, you know, the only thing you could say to him is, we did it. This is not just about me. It takes a village to raise a child, and took a bunch of villages, but to have the support system from mom and dad who have been together going on 49 years now, that's quite a support system. I'm very lucky not everybody has the same support system that I have.
It's almost more of an accomplishment than making the Hall of Fame. They're knocking on the door 50 years of marriage, man. That's kind of rare.
Yeah, that's very rare. That's awesome,
really
though.
That is a great story. You lay that out well. I can actually sense your dad across the room. That's pretty awesome. Chipper Jones, newly minted Hall of Famer, of course, with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And
Chip, BT just said, as a special assistant to Major League Baseball, I'm sure you're involved, or at least you're aware of a lot of the things that are going on. It was yesterday, we had a discussion about the internationalization of the game and the fact that a big rivalry, maybe still one of the biggest ones in baseball, the Yankees and the Red Sox, is getting pushed over to London just for a couple of games. Ugh. But when you think about that, and BT is up in arms about
it.
He hates it. Some people don't mind it. You know what's the thinking of Major League Baseball and the commissioner by moving marquee games? It's one thing when it's, you know, a series that doesn't really, I mean, they all matter, but you know what I mean.
Right.
Not as important as this one.
Yeah.
What's the thinking behind this?
I would imagine they're probably taking a page from the NFL, trying to grow the game a little more, you know, worldwide. Although, you know, I mean, when it comes to the World Baseball Classic, I mean, that is, you know, what I would consider growing the game worldwide. You know, I'm kind of torn. Obviously, you know, when you're talking about the Yankees and Red Sox, you're talking about the marquee rivalry in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And that is what New Yorkers and Bostonians, they live for that. And it's not just that region of the United States, because as somebody who, you know, is not a big fan of both organizations throughout the course of my career, I still enjoy turning on ESPN when they're playing against each other and watching the two organizations go at it, watching the two fan bases go at it. And I would hate to see us cheated out of a rivalry series because we're gonna send those two particular teams over. But, you know, hey, I mean, let's take a litmus test and see how it goes. If it's, you know, if it flops, you know, we won't ever hear of it again. If it's a big hit, maybe, you know, some other teams, you know, take the rightful place in the years to come. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, I've already handed in my test because it's a failing grade for Major League Baseball. Chip, I got to tell you, listen, now Tiki, for the most part, captured my opinion, and as did you, but listen, if you go to Puerto Rico, if you go to Mexico, Japan, there's a great Japanese, although Otani doesn't look very good this spring, but still, you know what I'm saying? He's getting hit around. You know that's true, Chip. But like, you know, like Ichiro, I mean, it's very obvious that the Japanese player is incredibly viable. That doesn't mean that, I don't know, in 30 years they won't be playing high school baseball in London. I don't know. Give them the game. That's fine. But don't take away our most cherished product. Like, don't penalize the people who built the sport up to try to go and make money. It's just fundamentally wrong, Chipper. That, you know what I mean?
That's what makes this such a great, great country. We can all have different opinions. You know, I don't disagree with you one bit. You know, I would, I don't know. I mean, I think we have our little taste of it with the World Baseball Classic every couple of years. I think this is basically a spinoff on what the NFL is trying to do with, you know, their couple games over there, you know, every so often. But fact of the matter is the Yankees and the Red Sox going to be the Yankees and the Red Sox. I don't care what time zone they play in. I don't care. You know what I mean? It's still going to be a heated rivalry. This has got to be an attempt for Major League Baseball to, you know, to take a world.
Yeah, I got you.
And
make money.
You know, further push the game, you know, in other areas of the world.
Yep. Chipper Jones with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. So I mentioned Ohtani before, and I'm certainly not taking a shot at the young man, but he's, you know, fastball looks a little flat. He's getting hit around a little bit, looks a little off trying to adjust to the real, you know, big league secondary stuff. But what I want to ask you is this. I mean, think about how hard it was for you who, you know, for 2 hours before a game, practiced your one craft in the batting cage, you know, cutting up film, sliders, changeups, fastballs. I mean, the whole array of what you're going to face any given night, not to mention fielding your position. How much of a challenge is it going to be for this young man who can't speak English, who doesn't even know really where he is, to hit and pitch? I don't think this is going to work, but you know a lot more than I do. What do you think, Chipper?
I haven't seen the young man play. Obviously, I've seen some of the highlights and whatnot that we all see on, you know, an everyday basis on ESPN, but I haven't watched him play enough to make a definitive answer or observation. I will say this. Just in the little bit that I have seen, I think he's got a better opportunity for longevity on the mound than he does as a hitter. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've certainly been wrong before, but, I mean, this kid certainly has, and I faced Yu Darvish, you know, when he was still in Japan in the World Baseball Classic, and I have not seen too many more electric type of arms come out of Japan than Yu Darvish. That being said, he's made a pretty nice living for himself over here. Yep. I think Ohtani can certainly rival what Yu Darvish has done over here. I think that the more you waver between pitching him and playing him, hitting him, all those kind of things, maybe the more disservice you do to him. If you allow him to specialize in one or the other and throw the other one out the window, I think you could really, really see him flourish. But listen, anytime you got a guy who throws the ball upwards of 95 or 100 miles an hour with the breaking stuff, and of course, as we call it, the shuto, the split finger pitch that seems like every Japanese guy has. That's a rare commodity. I mean, you're talking about a top of the rotation type guy, and in this day and age, you know, you're paying those guys $150 million. I believe I would, you know, specialize. If I was a general manager, I would want him to specialize out there on that mound. Yeah. Those aces, they don't come along every day.
Yeah. Unless you don't want to pay him. That's what they
Yeah, true. Hey,
we were talking about you getting into the Hall of Fame, and we saw you at the Daytona 500. You know, what's life like for you now? You're retired. I know you're doing a whole bunch of other things. You're playing golf the other day. What are you up to? How are you keeping busy, engaged?
Well, how about this? I got six boys. I have a seventh on the way.
Oh, congratulations,
wow,
man.
Really celebrated when you got the call from the Hall of Fame, huh, Chip?
All right, so you know I can't do anything without a little bit of drama. How about this one? I get inducted into the Hall of Fame on July 29th. My wife is due July 30th.
You better induce.
Yeah.
Wait, so you're saying you're going to miss your Hall of Fame?
No, he's not saying that.
What I'm saying is when I have my orientation in April in Cooperstown, 2 hours of that orientation is going to be spent at a local hospital making sure we know all the, you know, where everything is, and it's gonna be crazy. I mean,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
It really is. His name's going to be Cooper. You know, hopefully he's not born in Cooperstown, but to commemorate, you know, the summer, we're going to call him Cooper.
And, oh, that's awesome, Jim.
Yeah, so it's you know, I'm actually, when I hang up with you guys, I'm going to my 7-year-old baseball game. And, yeah, it's just a bunch of guys I played golf with Smolty yesterday.
Yeah.
Down
life.
Here in Atlanta, and just making appearances here and there. Looking forward to opening day, throwing out the first pitch at the Braves' opening game. So, yeah, just kind of making
living life, living life. I love it,
yeah.
And being a good dad, I love that as well. Hey, congratulations! When we get down there, I'm calling you up, Jipper.
Number 7.
When we get down to ATL, I'm calling you up,
man.
If you don't, me and you might go toe-to-toe. It could probably take me.
But I don't know.
Out there, you're a big dude, Chip.
He's getting a little skinny these days, Chip. A little skinny.
Exactly.
He's a marathon runner now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? By the way, what's that? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chipper.
No. I was just, you know, that's kind of what my life consists of now.
It's awesome, though.
I made a bunch of promises when I retired, and I'm really kind of digging, you know, the full-time dad, full-time husband, and, you know, kind of doing my hobbies on the side.
That's
good,
cool.
Man. By the way, I'm going to put your son down for 4 knocks tonight, just to guess. He's your son. 2 doubles, maybe a triple, maybe a bomb, maybe a little opposite field power. I'm sure he's flashing already.
He's 7, BT.
By the way, how many of your sons switch hit? How many?
Just starting to tell him about Mickey Mantle and Eddie Murray and those guys. You know, those breaking balls, they're a lot easier when they're coming into you as opposed to going away from you. So I'm going to have him sitting here pretty soon.
Okay, I got you. So, Chipper Jones with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Where do you stand, Chipper? Because you're old school enough to probably have a pretty strong opinion about trying to accelerate the pace of the game, but also smart enough to know for the growth of the game, as we spoke about, as much as I don't like London, you know, financially, I get it, that you might have a different opinion. Where do you stand now on, you know, really implementing all these things at the lower levels of the minors as a laboratory to try to get the game faster? What seems like it will work to you, and what are you really opposed to?
Oh, man, this is a tough subject for me because, you know, I'm all for making adjustments and listening to things that might work. But, you know, I played in a semi-pro baseball tournament last summer with a bunch of retired guys, and they had us on a clock in between innings and, a pitch clock and all this kind of stuff. And it was so funny because, you know, our starting staff was Tim Hudson, Roy Oswalt, Roy Halladay, Ben Sheets. I mean, we had some studs out there. And they would literally, you know, they're not going to go out there and rush to make a time limit. So the umpire would call a ball on him basically to start every inning. And they were like, I don't care. I mean, they had these kids eating out of their hands.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a nuisance. I think guys look at it as something that's just going to amp up the blood pressure, you know. Listen, we got rules. We can't run over catchers anymore, and we can't take out second basemen. And this is all part of what's going on in America nowadays. You know, let's not hurt anybody. Look. Play a professional sport at top speed. Sometimes freak things are going to happen. Don't overreact by taking the essence of the game, you know, away from people. And I get it. It's sometimes it's hard to watch a 1-0 baseball game, you know, sometimes, but it's also fun to watch a 4-hour, 4.5-hour slugfest between the Yankees and Red Sox where, you know, they score 27 runs in a game, you know? So, there's give and take on both sides. I think it's a great game when you don't take things away. And the game of baseball, it seems like people are sparking conversation to continually take things away from the game. And it's really robbing us of the essence of the game.
Listen, we got to roll. I wish we had more time, but I've been saying for years, if it wasn't Buster Posey if it was just a backup, you know, semi-scrub backup catcher who got his ankle twisted, they're not changing the
rule. Right.
We're on the same page. You know what I mean?
You guys are so smart. You guys said it. I did not.
Hey, we'll continue this conversation over some beverages down in ATL when we get down there.
Boy,
Chipper.
That sounds good.
Sounds good. Love it.
We appreciate you, my friend.
God bless you and your wife with the pregnancy here,
yes,
Chipper.
Congrats.
And congrats
Thank
on the Hall of Fame.
Thank you, guys. Enjoyed it.
You got it, pal. No doubt. Chipper Jones, good friend of the show. Man, he was awesome. And he's just a cool guy,
Still
too.
Still is awesome.
Yeah, no, he's just
a man.
Man, he could play. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. A little late. I'm sure it's okay. It was Chipper Jones after all. Update. Act right now. Here's Rich.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.